Hi, my name is Ophélie, and you're listening to the Mama Activist Podcast, a podcast where we explore topics ranging from social justice, culture, politics, and news through deep conversation with myself, activists, humanitarians, and everyday people trying to make a difference. It's a space where we are willing to learn, grow, and be challenged collectively while highlighting activists doing amazing things in the world. From hearing new perspectives to learning new things, we are pushing for a better world, fighting for our liberation and reclaiming our power. So tune in and be a part of the movement. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Mama Activist Podcast. Thank you for anyone who is listening to this episode. I hope that you are fine, and I actually want to ask you, how are you feeling right now? On a scale from 1 to 5, 1 being very well and 5 being not so well, how are you feeling? I want to normalize checking in with you all and checking in with people in general, because I feel that in many spaces we do not really check in with people or look after our mental health and our well-being as much as we should, especially in workplaces, environment that feel a bit hostile. When people are working in an environment that feel really hostile, and I think that we should normalize checking in with people, asking people how they are feeling. Me right now, I am feeling like a 2. I would even say a 3, because Afra has been sick since we came back to Europe. Although she's good, she's still playing, she's still being herself. I think for me as a first mom, and it's my first time experiencing her being sick like this, I found it challenging. I am so worried, and a part of me also feel guilty. So I remember back when I was working in Athens, I was managing a community center for LGBTQ+ asylum seekers and refugees, and we had this amazing woman from Germany who would come in and she would do mindfulness session with us. None of the things that she was doing that I really liked and I really appreciated, she was always, when she started those sessions, she would always ask us to describe our mood with weather casts. I think this is a way to say it. So if I could describe my mood with a weather cast today, I would say that it is somehow a blue sky, a sunny day, but there are some clouds in the sky. Although it is still a sunny day, but a cloudy sunny day. But it looks like in the next couple of days, the clouds will be gone. So wherever you are listening to this podcast from, if you feel like a rainy day or a cloudy day, I invite you and encourage you to take time for yourself, to open space for yourself, and to make sure that you are well and to prioritize your well-being. Talking about mental health and well-being, I recently just wrote an article about seasonal depression, and this is going to be today's topic. How seasonal depression or seasonal affective disorder, CAD, is real, and why we should talk about it more. Why we should talk about mental health more in general. I feel like in many places we lack safe spaces to come and share about our mental health. You know, we lack the support for those who are trying to reach out or to share about their mental health. We lack the support. We lack the organized structure to look after the well-being, the mental well-being of people in general, especially in the workplace, especially when you do my line of work, being an activist and working remotely and traveling, but still being part of a collective. And, you know, I think that as much as we need to normalize looking after people's well-being, we also need to normalize community care, even when the community is a collective or when it's a community at work or, you know, when it's family, when it's your friends. It's still important. So talking about seasonal depression. I first heard about seasonal depression or seasonal affective disorder when I went through it. So I'm going to share my personal experience with you guys. It was back in 2018. No, it was not in 2018. It was 2015 or 2016, between those 2 years. And I had just gone to university in the UK. Bear in mind that I was raised in France. I lived in France until I was 18. And when I turned 18, after I finished, I guess, the equivalent of high school, lycée in France, so I did my baccalaureate, I decided to come to the UK. It was a really bold move. I didn't have any saving. I didn't really know people. I decided to be an au pair for an English family. I was looking after their children. And they would pay me, like, weekly pocket money to help me with, like, food. I was taking English classes. Sorry, that was in 2013. And after this, I decided to go to college. And then after this, I went to university. So that would be 2017, actually. So in 2016. So in 2016, I just started university. I got myself in university after, you know, after coming in a country where I did not speak the language, learning a new language, learning about a new culture, going out of my comfort zone, and, you know, building a new community, building a new life for myself. And I got myself in university by working my ass off. You know, I had a couple of jobs at the same time. I was working in a care home. I was trying to save money, and although I made it to university, and I remember I didn't even have a certificate that could prove my English level. I actually had to convince them to accept me. It was thanks to me going to college and doing an access course, which I also had to convince them to accept me. But yeah, so I was in uni, I was doing well, but I mean, I was doing as well as I could, not being yet fluent in English, being far away from my family and everything I knew, and not having, I guess, real friends. I did have friends, but I didn't have the same friends that I had in high school, because the friends I had through high school were friends I had through high school. So, you know, when you know your friends for a long time, you build that relationship, you build that kind of like feeling of safety, feeling of like you can be yourself with those people. So I was missing this, and I was also missing my brothers and my family. Like, part of my activism is also centered around my family life, and now as a kid I had to advocate for myself and I had to advocate for my brothers. And when I took myself out of my family, and you know, we had a very like unstable family back then. It's better now, but back then it was very unhealthy. There was so much violence, physical and mental. And so being in university, I just always felt guilty that I was in university and I was doing well for myself. I was always almost trying to sabotage myself, to the point where I would worry sick for my brothers that I left back home. And then and I was trying to do well in uni, you know. I got myself there. I was trying to do well. I was worried about my brothers. And then winter came, and I actually had a breakdown. I was in uni. I was trying hard to understand, trying hard to do my essays, to submit my assessment and stuff. And I just, at one day, it was too much for me. It was so much. And I was in uni, and I had to go to a counselor in uni who actually called the hospital on me, and I was admitted at the hospital for that one day. So it went really, really bad. And I didn't fully understand what was happening to me, because I never really considered myself to be depressed. And even though I was going through a lot, and I had lots of challenges, and it's true that I came from an unstable home, I never really thought that I could experience something like this. Plus, you know, trying to do hard in uni, like, I felt like I had a lot of weight on my shoulder. And after I went home for 3 months, I ended up not going back to uni. I had to stay home, and it was all through the winter. I also had a job back then that I had to do this job. I had to continue to work. I was working as a nanny. And that was the only thing I couldn't stop, because otherwise I would have not been able to pay for my rent. And I remember, you know, I was spending most of my time in bed, and it was hard to take myself out to go to my job. I didn't really understand what triggered it. I really didn't understand, because I'm the kind of person who can usually deal with a lot of things, and then things is not true. You know, people, when they have to deal with so many things, of course they tend to have breakdown, because we are human. There's only so much we can do at the same time, especially when we are dealing with trauma, we are dealing with PTSD, all those things mixed up together, traveling to a new country, having to like settle down to learn a new language. There was so many things in the mix, but I didn't really see it back then. And then winter came. And so, yes, it was my counselor who told me that I was suffering from seasonal affective disorder. And when I heard this word, I was really like, what is this? Like, you know, what the fuck is this? I had never heard this term before, this word. I had heard about depression, about, you know, feeling of anxiety, of stress. I was feeling anxious, but I was feeling more depressed than anxious. My depression was more like, you know, I was feeling really low. I didn't have any motivation. I didn't have any will to do anything. I did not have suicidal thoughts, but it was almost as if I could have. I was just feeling like there was no point in doing anything. There was no point in, like, studying. There was even no point in worrying for my brother. I was just like, there is no point to nothing. There's no point to nothing. And so when my counselor told me that I was dealing with seasonal affective disorder, and they actually offered me antidepressant at the hospital, and I refused, because I was like, I'm not depressed, you know, I'm not going through anything. I'm just like, I don't know what's happening to me. Maybe I'm physically sick. So I had to do some research. I had to learn more about what seasonal affective disorder is. So seasonal affective disorder, SAD, is a form of depression triggered by seasonal change. It tends to occur usually in the winter, and the episode of depression tend to occur at the same time each year. So what this means is that we get triggered by seasonal change, we get triggered by winter, and during winter, seasonal affective disorder is triggered because of the cold. It's triggered because our bodies are not getting enough sunlight. When, you know, the days are getting darker, they are getting shorter, and it's disrupting our body natural clock, and is affecting a part of our brain that make mood regulating hormones, and it just makes us depressed. Like, the lack of sun, lack of like direct sunlight, direct sunshine, the fact that, you know, we cannot spend so long outside that it's dark, like when you wake up it's dark, you at four it's dark again, it really has an effect on people. And, you know, like our society and capitalism always pushes us to be always overproductive, regardless of our health or regardless of like natural like seasons and stuff like this. And there's one thing that we tend to do in winter is we keep going as if, you know, nothing has changed, when even nature is telling us to slow down. And because I'm like everyone, and I'm like, I was trying to survive and I wasn't really aware of those things back then. I was just trying to do as much as I could, even in winter. You know, I will try to go out, I will try to socialize, I will try to do things. And without realizing that actually it wasn't working for me at all, it was actually damaging myself, you know. We forget that, you know, animals, they hibernate in winter. You know, you have like the bear, in French we say l'ours. Bears, they actually, you know, during the year they find food, they stock food, and then during the winter they stay in and they eat all that food. And like, honestly, this is why I'm encouraging all of my friends and family to do, and this is what I'm doing. The only reason right now I'm going out, being back in the UK, is to get food. If there is some sun in the morning, I will go out to get some kind of light to help with not getting enough light. But I am not pushing myself to go out to like socialize. I am, you know, I am being like soft and tender with myself. I am not being too pushy. I am not being too dodgy. I understand now that because of the winter, my mood is different. But back then, I did not understand. And I guess those kind of things, like mental health, is not something that, unfortunately, we are taught in school. There's so much that is still unknown. You know, there's so many children out there that might also be affected by it and don't realize, and their parents don't know either, because unfortunately, there is not so much awareness when it comes to depression, to mental health, to like seasonal affective disorder. And yeah, so I guess the reason I'm doing a podcast on this is because since we came back to Europe, we came back about 2 weeks ago now, I have been experiencing a lot of stress, and people have projected their anxiety on me so much. And we just came back from Africa, you know. When we left, it was 26 degrees there. You know, we were still eating fresh organic fruits every day. So coming here, I felt everyone's mood. You know, I felt that everyone in my family was kind of tensed, and they couldn't really understand why. Everybody in France, you know how French people are. I'm kidding, but only half kidding. You know how French people are. So everybody was kind of tense. Everybody was kind of like, you know, struggling. My mom has been eating much more than she's in summer, and she was always having comments like, oh, I'm gaining weight, asking us if she's gaining weight. And my mom and her weight is a full story, is a love story, an unhealthy love story, bless her. But she's just currently very worried about this, and not understanding that it's all to do with winter. It's all to do with, you know, the fact that in winter we tend to eat more because our body just kind of wants to like fatten up because of like also like lack of energy, also because food is comforting, is satisfying, you know, to have sometimes when you're not getting satisfaction in your life, or you're not feeling happy with the thing that you do. I mean you, but like we. Well, in this case, we tend to seek satisfaction through things that gives us like instant satisfaction. And food is one of the things that we tend to in my family. I do the same. My sister does the same. We do a lot of stress eating as well when we are stressed. So my mom is doing just the same. And in winter, it's even more. But before I went to uni, before I had to go through that to realize what triggered my depression. And I'm not saying that it was only to do with the weather. It was also to do with the fact that I had so much on my plate, but also that on top of this, it was winter. And I guess, you know, being in Africa now, I realize how, for me, I need the sun. I cannot fully function in the cold. And I think there is beauty in having to hibernate in winter, you know, having to stay in, to go within yourself, you know, if you have family, to be present with your family, even though, you know, we went through COVID and a lockdown, so we were all forced to stay with our family. But also, you know, the fact that winter is really, like, when you go out in winter, when you see nature, you know, all the trees have lost their leaves. Nature is kind of dying, you know. This is when people, like, public spaces, they tend to cut, like, trees so that in the spring they will grow more beautifully. But it's like, you know, nature in winter, we are seeing nature die. And then in spring, we are seeing nature coming back. Like, we are seeing nature, like, what's the word I'm looking for, like, revitalize, you know? And it should be the same for us. It should be like spring. We should kind of like stay with him, recharge ourselves so that we are revitalized for spring. And we should stop feeling so guilty about wanting to just stay in bed in winter, not wanting to socialize, wanting to go out, because it's cold. It's cold. I do not like cold. I just realized this after spending all, like, most of my year in Africa this year. I do not like cold. I don't function well in cold. I prefer warm weather. I really prefer warm weather. So, yeah, winter depression, which is another way of referring to seasonal affecting disorder, is real. Is very real. So the reason people call it winter depression, again, is something that that seasonal affective disorder is actually a type of depression that comes and goes in a seasonal pattern. But the reason that we call it winter depression is because the symptoms are usually more apparent and more severe during the winter. Some people with seasonal affective disorder may have symptoms during the summer and feel better during the winter. You know, this also happens, but often, but not always, is the opposite. So, what are the symptoms of seasonal affective disorder? So, according to the NHS, symptoms of seasonal affective disorder can include a persistent low mood, a loss of pleasure or interest in normal everyday activities, so you just don't want to socialize. Irritability, so you're very irritable, more than usual, which was the case with my mom. She was more irritable than usual. And I even had to remind myself every time, like, my mom would want to argue with me, like, oh, yes, it's winter, like, yes, everybody, we are all infected by this, and she didn't just come back from Africa. Feelings of despair, guilt, and worthlessness. So, you know, because we are gaining weight, because we are not doing as much, because we are not exercising, our body feels a certain way. So we, like, symptoms can include feeling of despair, guilt, and worthlessness. Feeling lethargic, lacking energy, and sleepy during the day, and wanted to be in bed all day. Sleeping for longer than normal and finding it hard to get up in the morning. On this, I just want to bounce because, you know, in winter, days are shorter, nights are longer. And I think we should just follow this. We should allow ourselves to have longer nights. Other symptoms can include craving carbohydrates and gaining weight, difficulty concentrating, and decreased sex drive. Bear in mind that for some people, these symptoms can be severe and have a significant impact on their day-to-day activities. When it gets severe, then you should consider seeing the GP if you think that you might have SAD and you're struggling to cope. And, you know, they can make an assessment on your mental health, and they can also make an assessment based on your mood, lifestyle, eating habits, and sleeping patterns. And you can get the treatment that you need. In terms of treatment for seasonal affective disorder, there are like many different treatments. They are like, you can make some kind of like lifestyle changes, to help you, such as like, actually I'm writing an article, so I'm not going to talk too much about this, but you can make lifestyle changes. You can have light therapy. This is something that I am so glad my friend offered to me. When I was living in London, I had a room which had no window. So some of my friends offered me a special light that does light therapy that helps with the lack of sunlight. So I recommend for people who are struggling with lack of light, lack of sunshine, to get yourself a light therapy. And then there's talking therapies, counseling, having a therapist, cognitive behavior therapy, and then antidepressants. Antidepressant is always my last favorite choice, but obviously this is personal and we are all different. So what causes SAD is it's not fully understood yet, but it's often linked to reduced exposure to sunlight during the shorter autumn and winter days. But again, I'm writing an article on this, so if you want to find out more, please look up for next month's edition of Moja 2 magazine, because my article on seasonal depression will probably be out, or it will be the month later, but I think it's important for us to talk about this more, to raise awareness more on seasonal depression and on how, you know, our mood do get affected by the weather, and how during winter we should stay in more, we should listen to our bodies, we should try to listen to what our body needs and what our bodies are saying, and if they are saying to stay in after work, to come back home, go to bed at the weekend when you're off, not to do anything, then just do nothing. Allow yourself to do nothing. Also, don't forget that it was capitalism who taught us that we always have to be productive, even in winter. And it's capitalism who is making us feel guilty when we are doing less than what we think we should be doing. You know, but sometimes just being is also okay. Sometimes we should allow ourselves to just be, especially in winter. Sorry, I am sipping my cup of tea. So, for anyone who is listening, deep breath in. I want you to breathe with me. Hold. And then breathe out. Breathe in. Hold for a second. And just breathe out. And remember that your mental health matter, you matter, and that winter is a time to stay in. Even though we celebrate the new year in winter, that does not mean that we have to be very active and to do new things, to like make all of our year resolution happen in winter. I believe that the real beginning of the year is actually in spring, when nature comes back to life. Our body follows the natural pattern of nature, you know, so we should give ourselves some space. We should be easy on ourselves. Anyway, that's all for today, guys. And I am looking forward to 2023, to taking you with me on a beautiful journey of traveling through Africa, of gathering beautiful stories, of connecting with journalists and change makers, of people trying to liberate Black people. Yes, I am looking forward to 2023, and I am looking forward to going on this journey with you. For anyone who listened to today's episode, you are loved. I love you, and I wish you a good day. Bye, guys.